You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 2nd of May 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I hope you enjoyed the Albion narrations last week. I had guests here, so I was unable to do my usual daily podcast, but we should be back to normal this week and I am hoping to get an audio insurgency recorded in time for Thursday. Well, to get into the news, I mean, there's been all sorts of things that have been happening over the last week. And in Sweden, it seems Rasmus Paludan has been up to his old tricks, riling up the Muslims. In the wake of widespread Islamist riots across Sweden, Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson admitted that there are now parallel societies within her country, a tacit admission of the existence of Europe's infamous no-go zones. And this is something that she has refused to admit. Sweden has refused to admit that there are actually areas in Sweden where the authorities cannot go. The police cannot go there. The ambulances can't go there. If they do, they just get attacked. Even fire engines will be attacked. There's been police stations that have been bombed, and these are the areas of the country that are majority non-Swedish, or by ethnicity, of course, because Sweden refers to people that are not of Swedish ethnicity as new Swedes. They're Swedish citizens, but their ancestral heritage is not a part of the Swedish family, not a part of the Nordic family of nations. And she's saying this in response to the burning of a Quran. And of course, I do not endorse the burning of Qurans. I think it's a hideous thing to do. Why would you want to desecrate somebody's religion in such a way? And the reason this is done is basically so that the public can see the reaction that Muslims will have to that, and compare it to the reaction that Christians would have if somebody was to burn a Bible. Now, if somebody was to burn a Bible, a Christian would say, well, that's desecrating a Bible. That's a very offensive thing to do. But Christians would not be likely to riot because they don't see the Bible as being part of God or anything like that. I mean, it's a written word. It's a book. And I guess we are desensitized to these things in a way because we're always seeing Christianity being mocked and we, you know, we sort of take it for granted that people are going to mock Christianity. But it's not a nice thing to do. But again, we wouldn't riot. Christians wouldn't riot if somebody was to be doing something like that. And the reason why this is done, why there is this burning of the Quran, is because the people that do it know that Muslims are going to go absolutely crazy at this because they see the Quran itself as being very, very holy. The book itself, they think that it was the word of God. And this is absolute sacrilege. And I guess this guy that does this Rasmus Paludan, I guess you could say that he's brave for doing this. I think it's very offensive what he is doing. I mean, I'm not against Islam itself in Islamic countries. That's where it should be. It gives Islamic countries a completely different flavor to Christian countries. But when we have multiculturalism and we have different religions alongside one another, then the differences between those religions become apparent and they can cause conflict. And of course, in the West, we like to satirize things. We satirize religion. We used to seeing satirical takes on Christianity, Monty Python's The Life of Brian, for instance. But if you are to make a satirical take on Islam, for instance, if you are to draw a cartoon of Muhammad, then that is likely to get this same response. And this really highlights the difference between Muslims and Christians. And I believe the differences in the religion there originate with the difference of ethnicity, with the different people groups. It's the same reason why different people groups create different cultures. The more different the races are to one another, the more different the cultures are going to be, and the more different the religions are going to be. And it all helps to make the world a more interesting place. But when you have all of that within the same territory, as I say, you're going to get conflict. And you really do see this conflict highlighted when something like this happens. As I say, this was in response to Danish anti-Islam activist Rasmus Paludan and his followers burning a Quran earlier this month. Widespread riots engulfed the Scandinavian country, with places like Malmö, Linköping, Norrköping and Rinkeby seeing days of violence over the Easter weekend, in which over 100 police officers were injured. And I remember the last time this was done, I believe he was doing it in Norway, and there was massive fires that were lit. I mean, there's just a mob of Muslims chasing after this guy. And it really seems pointless. It's just like causing damage to the country, causing conflict, increasing conflict between communities. I think he would be far better just to point out these differences. I guess the way he feels is, well, I've been pointing out these differences for ages and the government still haven't changed their policy. So now has come the time to highlight these differences with a practical demonstration of them. And I guess that's his thought process. But I don't think it's a good idea to be so disrespectful to anybody's religion. I really don't. And I do wonder how many people will think when they see this, well, I should be supporting Rasmus Paludan, or whether people will be seeing this and be thinking, well, he's just caused chaos on the streets and he's just increased tensions between the communities. We don't want to increase tension between the communities. What we want is an end to multiculturalism. We want these other communities to also be wanting an end to multiculturalism. We want them to be saying, yes, we much prefer to be living amongst our own people. We much prefer to have our own laws. We much prefer to just be doing our own thing. And we would like them to be doing their own thing back in their ancestral homelands. But if that's not possible, then I think the best way to do things would just be to have segregated areas. I mean, people self-segregate, don't they? If you have a multicultural school or whatever, then the white kids will sit with the white kids at lunchtime, the black kids will sit with the black kids. And you see the same thing in you see the same thing in prisons, and you see the same thing when people emigrate to countries. They live within their communities. You'll have the Chinese community in a city, you'll have the Indian community there, and they'll all live in their separate areas. They will self-segregate because it is unnatural to have multiculturalism and all be mixed up together within the same territory. It's not a natural situation to be in, and it just creates the potential for conflicts like this. Commenting on the growing unrest among the Muslim population of Sweden, which has surged significantly as a result of the pro-migration policies since the height of the European migrant crisis of 2015-2016, Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson said on Thursday that there are strong forces that are ready to go to great lengths to harm our society. And I think she's probably referring to this Rasmus Paludan there as much as she is referring to the Islamists. I mean, it says here that it's Islamists, it was Islamists that were doing this. But I mean, it looks to me as if it's, you know, it's just normal Muslims that are going to find this offensive and that are going to react in this way. I wouldn't say they were extremists, because they do take it very seriously if their religion is smeared in any way. They don't have the same traditions of free speech and the same traditions of poking fun at authority that we have over here in the West. And if you're going to invite them into our countries and you're going to try and accommodate them, then you're going to have to change the traditions of the West, which obviously Europeans are not going to want to do. We don't want to try to change our traditions to accommodate newcomers. She says here, segregation has been allowed to go so far that Sweden now has parallel societies. We live in the same country, but in completely different realities. And that's just been going on for years, hasn't it? That is what naturally happens is you get the immigrants that live within their own community. And once they get to a certain size, then they start instituting their own laws within that community. And you have certain parts of Britain that were also having Sharia patrols and that sort of thing. And obviously it's far worse in Sweden. And also with these parallel societies, they don't like to go to the police to solve problems. They like to solve the problems within their own community. And the politicians like this because those communities will vote on block. So you can get like a Labour politician that will talk to the leaders of the Muslim community. And the Muslim community would assure the Labour politician that they will get all their all the members of their community to vote for them. And there'll be a massive voting block that politician will know will all be voting for him. So this is one of the reasons why the politicians like to have this, where, of course, we don't have these community leaders in the white community. We don't have anyone that will say to us, everybody needs to vote for so-and-so, and everybody will then go out and do that. We don't have these community leaders with that sort of an influence in our community. And, of course, we want to see white community leaders that are specifically for white people. We have to be the only people group that do not actually have any advocates for our people group. And the only people that do advocate for us get accused of incitement to hate. I mean, you just look at the way that the newspapers treat Patriotic Alternative, who try to draw attention to changing demographics, try to suggest policies that would improve the situation for the indigenous British people. And they just get accused of being white supremacists, neo-Nazis, hating immigrants. And that's just not the truth. The truth is we want to see a change to immigration policy. That doesn't mean that we hate immigrants, does it? It means that we think that what would be best for us and best for them is if we didn't have the immigration policy that we have. We don't want to have unlimited immigration. It doesn't help us, and it really doesn't help these other groups. As you can see here, that they are wanting to live amongst their own people, and they are wanting to have their own laws. So if we're encouraging them to come to our country and our laws are different to theirs, they're not going to be very happy here. They're going to be constantly agitating for laws that are going to reflect their culture. They're obviously going to be advocating for their own people and for their own interests. And of course, that is going to cause a conflict of interests because white people are going to want to be doing things that are in our interests. You cannot please all of the people all of the time. That's why it is far better to have ethnically homogeneous societies so that when the country goes in one particular way, it is going to be of benefit to that one group. If you have more than one group in society and the country goes in one way, then it's going to benefit one group, but it can't be benefiting the other group, can it? You have these different groups. They have different ideas, different cultures, different ways of doing things, different needs. One size does not fit all. Much as we would like that to be the case, I think that's what most of these liberal types want. They want to see a world where everybody is happy. But the only way that you can do that is to separate the world up into different territories with different groups within those territories. Then each territory can govern itself in the way that reflects its culture and its instincts and its intuitions, and then they will be happy. But that's the only way that you can do it, and that is basically nationalism. If you have internationalism, then you're just going to end up with people that are not happy at the way that they're living because they're being forced to conform to ways of living that do not come naturally to them. She says, integration has been too poor, while we have had a large-scale migration, society has also been too weak. Now, this is at the root of the problem. She talks about integration here. And what does she mean by integration? Well, she means getting the newcomers to behave as if they are Swedes, which effectively means trying to get the newcomers to forget their heritage, forget their traditions, forget their culture, and to behave as if they are Swedes and as if that is their culture. And of course, nobody wants to do that because that doesn't come naturally to them. And the more you try to force people to behave in ways that are different to their traditions and their instincts, then the more trouble there is that is going to be brewing. And this is why we end up with people that are confused about their identity. This is why we end up with black people complaining that there are no black hairdressers in the countryside that they've just moved to, because they're expecting everywhere to be doing things for their benefit, because they've been told that this is their country and it's just as much theirs as it is everybody else's. And if that's the case, then there would be black hairdressers everywhere, wouldn't there? If that was the case for Muslims, there would be specialist butchers everywhere. And that isn't the case. So it just brews dissatisfaction amongst people, and also confusion about their identity. Because they'll be telling them in Sweden, they'll be telling the newcomers that they're Swedish, and yet they can look in the mirror and they can see all their ancestors in their face, and they can say, "Well, my ancestors weren't Swedes. I'm Swedish now. So, what does that mean my ethnicity is?" And then you get people like David Lammy, who asks why he can't be of British ethnicity. Well, he can't be of British ethnicity because that's not his ancestral heritage. He can be a British citizen. He can be a civic nationalist, but he cannot be an ethnic Briton. That cannot be his ethnicity because he's not a part of the British extended family of nations. His ancestral heritage comes from somewhere else. So you end up with this confusion. You end up with identity confusion. You end up with people that are cut off from their ancestry. They're cut off from their roots. A lot of them probably don't even know what their original homeland was like. I'm sure if they would go there, they would find that they feel far more at home than they have ever felt in their lives before, just being amongst their own extended family instead of being living in a multicultural zone. So it's not good for anyone, least of all the indigenous people of a country that's been turned multicultural. But the idea that she has here is to increase integration. But that's not what these people want, is it? They want Muslim communities. That's why they live amongst Muslims. So what she is suggesting is that the solution to this is more multiculturalism. Encourage these people to live even more like Westerners, which means basically encourage them to turn their back on their roots even more and become rootless. All the more. And when you are rootless, you lose your connection to your people, you lose your connection to the place where you are. And I guess you might become more of a consumer, and you might take your identity from consumable products, but it's just going to leave people feeling depressed. And this is why we see rising depression, I believe, is because people have confused identities and they have lost their roots and they've lost the connection that they have with their extended family. And they're being told that their extended family isn't their family, and their family are the people that happen to be in the country where they are born. I mean, where you are born does not change who you are. You could be born anywhere in the world, and it doesn't change your ancestry. It doesn't change the extended family that gave birth to you. They are the people that are your connection, not the people that happen to be living in the country where you are born. I mean, it really doesn't make any sense the way that we have set things up, with people being told that their place is where they are born, rather than their place is their extended family, who they were born to. That's who they have a connection with. And we always had this old saying that blood is thicker than water. And that's what applies here. Ancestral heritage is more important than a piece of paper that tells you where you were born. Currently, around 1/5 of the population, or 2 million people in Sweden, were born abroad, with more coming from migration background families. So 1/5 of the population must have arrived within the last 10 or 20 years. And then on top of that, you've got non-whites that moved to Sweden before that and have now given birth. So it's going to be a lot more than one fifth of the population. But obviously they don't keep records of this in Sweden, because they think that as soon as somebody sets foot on Swedish soil and they're given this piece of paper, then they're no different to the Swedes whose ancestral heritage is in that land. After years of negative impacts on social cohesion, the government has sought to enact stricter migration controls, such as placing limits on those seeking permanent residency. It was only a couple of years back that Sweden was calling itself a humanitarian superpower and was opening up its borders to anybody that wanted to come in from Germany, much to the stress and distress of the natural Swedes, who were seeing their cities turned into no-go zones and resembling Asian parts of the world more than Scandinavian parts of the world. The admissions from the leftist prime minister represent one of the closest acknowledgements from the government as to the actual existence of migrant-dominated no-go zones in Sweden. Of course, we remember here that Donald Trump made reference to these no-go zones, and the former prime minister of Sweden said there's no such thing. There's no such thing as no-go zones in Sweden. Well, you had the chiefs of police in those areas saying, well, we cannot actually even go into these areas. I forget what the term was he used instead. He had some euphemism that he used instead of a no-go zone. Nevertheless, the blight of the areas has long been reported on both domestically and internationally, with even the British government previously warning its citizens to steer clear of such areas in 2018 over the risk of gun crime and explosions, with car bombs becoming a prominent feature of turf warfare in certain sections of the country. Now, of course, we started out with this article talking about Islam, and now we've moved on to gangsterism. And this is the other problem with multiculturalism. It means that there are more potential victims for the criminal types. Now, whether or not different people groups are more likely to commit crimes or not, which if you look at the statistics, it does look like they are, and it looks like that is linked to IQ. But even if all the different people groups had exactly the same likelihood of committing crime and exactly the same number of criminals within their community, I believe you would still get more crime occurring in multicultural areas. And the reason for that is because there are more potential victims. If you think about it, how easy is it for you to harm a member of your own family? It's not easy unless you're a psychopath or you've got some kind of a mental problem. It's going to be much easier for you to harm somebody from another family, in the same way that it's going to be much easier for the criminal types to pick a victim from another family than it is from their own family. And if these criminal types are going to rob somebody and they rob somebody from within their own community, it's very likely their own community are going to know exactly who it is. And they're then going to be punished for that. So they're not going to be picking on members of their own community. They're going to go and pick on a member of another community. So essentially, multiculturalism just provides many, many more potential victims for crimes to happen. And I believe this is the reason why, when you have ethnically homogenous communities, you get much lower crime rates. Look at the rural areas in Britain. They have very low crime rates. Look at Iceland, which still has mainly a homogenous country, very low crime rates. Look at Japan, very low crime rates. It's because it is much harder for a criminal type to carry out a crime against his own people group than it is to carry out crimes against other people groups. So this is one of the reasons why we see so much more crime in these multicultural areas. And of course, in Sweden, it's become really exacerbated to such an extent that there is gun crime, explosions and car bombs. Sweden has been ravaged by a spate of bombings of all kinds, with one expert stating that the amount of bombings is unparalleled in the developed world, and the multicultural Swedish city of Malmö frequently being subjected to explosions and shootings. I mean, that's absolutely incredible. Sweden, a country that sort of 30 or 40 years ago was completely unheard of as having a crime rate. I mean, it was a liberal socialist paradise. is now probably one of the most violent countries there are in the developed world. As early as 2016, police in Sweden admitted to having lost control of 55 so-called no-go areas, where crime rates spiraled in parallel with mass migration. So the crime rates went up at the same time as the migration rates went up. At the time, police officers admitted that they had lost the ability to effectively enforce the law and were reduced to merely reacting to surges in theft, sexual assault, and gang crime. And of course, if you can't identify the people that are actually doing this, if you can't identify the trends or the patterns, the groups that are doing this for fear of being accused of being racist or Islamophobic, then you're not going to be able to target the resources against a particular part of the community that are likely to be committing these crimes. So again, this is the problem that they have there, because they cannot identify people by ethnicity. And I know that some people do this. They look through the listings of the people, for instance, that have been charged with rape, and they look to see what the names of those people are, because you can tell from the name whether they're ethnic Swedish or whether they're likely to be Muslim. And there have been studies that have been done trying to show what groups are responsible for these crimes, but there's nothing official that I'm aware of that has actually done that. It's just been amateur journalists that have done this work. On top of the ill effects of having heavily segregated communities, statistics show that the migrant population is significantly lagging behind native-born Swedes economically, with migrants experiencing a much higher unemployment rate. One of the reasons cited for the disparity is the comparative education level, with reports previously showing that nearly half of unemployed migrants did not have a high school education, compared to just 18% of the native population. So they're saying that they're not as educated as the Swedes are. Now, why might that be? Could it possibly be because black people have a much lower average IQ than white people? Could it be because non-whites have a lower IQ than white people on average, which predicts that they're not going to be particularly good at the high school education? So they're effectively being expected to compete in an unlevel playing field, because white people have this higher average IQ. When you import people with a lower average IQ, then it's not really fair for them, is it? They're trying to compete against people that are much more competent than they are. And yet they're being told that we are all equal. So then they think, well, we must be being oppressed. There must be something going on. These white people are favouring themselves instead of favouring us. And again, it just breeds resentment when the fact of the matter is that people are just different, and different people groups have different average IQs. You're not going to be able to solve this by putting more resources into educating the blacks and the non-whites, I don't believe. And that's because so much of IQ is inherited. There's only a small amount that can be changed by the environment. And after a few years, it disappears. And you know, by the time that you get to the age of 40, something like 95% of the way that you are is exactly the same as the way that your parents were. Your heritage is far more important than the environment, and we will always revert back to type. So that means you can put all these resources into educating people, but after a few years, they will always go back to being exactly how their parents were and how their parents' parents were. Everybody always regresses back to the average. So we're not going to be able to solve this problem by putting resources into it. I believe the problem is just going to get worse. And of course, that's why we advocate, as nationalists, we advocate for an end to multiculturalism. Following the recent riots during Easter, the Swedish government has announced that it will be looking into adopting stricter systems to combat juvenile delinquency, including potential electronic monitoring of children after school in order to ensure that they go home, in order to prevent teens from joining gangs. So they think this is going to solve the problem, preventing children from playing with each other after school. Again, it's putting lots of resources into something that would not be a problem if they hadn't changed the immigration policy. Instead of looking at the root of this problem, which is multiculturalism, they're just going to put more and more resources into trying to cover up the problem and force people from other cultures to behave as if they are a part of Western culture. And of course, while all this is going on, it's the poor indigenous Swedes that have to suffer the most. They're the ones that have to suffer their towns and cities being burned down by rampaging mobs of Muslims that have been upset at the, rightfully upset at their Quran being burnt. And they're the ones that have to put up with the police station being bombed and the risk of being robbed on the street because multiculturalism has turned them into potential victims. I mean, if it was all Swedes there, then it would be very difficult for them to go out and carry out these crimes against themselves, because it would be carrying out the crimes against themselves. But as I say, if it's carrying out a crime against another people group, then obviously that's going to be much easier for criminals to do. And every people group does have its criminal types among them. So why would we just put them in a situation where there is going to be more potential victims? It really doesn't make sense, does it? Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.